Welcome to Cinefall, episode 10, Grumpy Old Podcasters. We watched the Oscars and decided to set up the computer and microphone in the TV room to create a kind of soundscape of our experience. That was the easy part. I've spent the last week trying to listen to it and edit it down from a little over 3 hours into something approaching 25 minutes. And usually the editing task falls to the tech guy, and indeed he's going to, once I've finished this, he's going to do the final run-through on everything. But because I had to figure out what content to actually use, I actually did a lot of the work this time around. I'm not sure how I feel about the final result. Most of our laughter and good-natured banter ended up on the virtual cutting room floor, and what's left seems to me, at this rate, at the end of a week of listening to it, seems to be a mix of cynicism and curmudgeonly humor, and a lot of the silliness that comes from spending many hours in front of the tube. By the end of it, I was truly and honestly really tired of hearing the sound of my own voice, so I'm not sure if the final product is really the best it could be. I can't judge it anymore. But it is what it is, and I hope you enjoy this little peek into our world.
Is she wearing sensible shoes?
She always wears sensible shoes. She always wears, like, hush puppy-looking type things. And they never match. I mean, the shoes match.
Side to side.
Yeah, see? Look. I guess they're not quite so hush puppy-ish as usual, but they're sensible shoes. Is that Jack Nicholson?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He's going through a Brando phase.
Oh, man.
I saw him running me on the interview, and I went, Jack Nicholson? Whoa!
And the problem is, I'm starting to feel old. Like, on the front of that Premiere magazine today, there was that gangster thing. And, well, there's Monica Bellucci, so, you know, I mean, God knows. And then Daniel LaToya on one side, who's aging reasonably well, but still now starting to look old. And then there was Jacques Dutronc on the other side. And I looked at him and I thought, is this makeup?
Where has he been involved?
It was frightening. It was absolutely frightening.
That's weird.
I know. I haven't liked a dress that Nicole Kidman has worn in years. Oh, it's the Bond dude.
Mm-hmm. He looks like a Ferengi.
it's like they wanted to move Bond into the science fiction instead of the spy. The Cold War is over, so they have to explore new territory. He's in Bond in space. Oh, what kind of spaceship would Bond drive?
An Aston Martin.
Make spaceships.
They would.
They would if Bond was in space.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
The Preston. Have you heard of any of these? We've heard of one.
Pirates
of
the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. We're pathetic. This is a movie podcast, and we're pathetic. Do you know what irritates me about the Oscars? Is that, I mean, you know that they're reading it off a prompter, but these people are all actors, and like, shouldn't they be able to do a better job?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll see that when we watch the César, it's different. I mean, they're given a speech to say, but they make it sound like they just, you know, came up with it out of their head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would think that someone who's an actor would be able to at least, you know, read it off a prompter without looking like I'm reading it off the prompter now.
Maybe they're not getting paid enough to do it.
They're not getting paid anything to do it.
Well, sure they get goodies and stuff like that. You know, those, the Oscar bags.
Well, anybody who shows up in a seat gets one of those goodie bags, yeah, don't they?
Something like that. I saw something about this on the BBC, was it the BBC site.
Well, that's another Mel Gibson
something, yeah,
extravaganza.
Well, that was the one where the sound mixer was nominated. Been done before. Go away.
What was that?
Well, Adam Sandler doing some fat suit thing. Like Eddie Murphy's done the fat suit thing.
I don't think the fat suit thing should be allowed to be nominated for achievement in makeup.
Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? The kids have been given a script and they sound like they're not reading it. Is this for the sound?
Yeah, sound editing. If you want to call, that's the guy who got the, who has up for the record number of nominations without a win. Well, record goes unbroken.
Do you want to think of a Chinese movie, The Departed? Remember the one night we were watching about Omni or whatever? Something about the ghosts?
No, I don't think it was along those lines. No, it was more like a... apparently, The Departed is a really violent movie, and I think the original was as well. I think Beat Takeshi. That's sort of violent.
Which one is this? This is Departed?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize Leonardo DiCaprio was in it. I didn't realize Jack Nicholson was in it. Ooh! Ooh, that's a hand!
Mm-hmm.
Ooh!
I told you it was a violent movie.
Ooh! You know, there are days when I'm really glad that we don't watch a lot of television, and it's because I'm tired of being confronted with the fact that I'm getting old. And I can completely ignore that as long as I don't watch television and I can see these people who've aged like about 30 years in 5 minutes.
See, North American television is our Dorian, picture of Dorian Gray. We just leave it off of the TV and it gets old and we don't. As soon as we turn on American TV, we realize how old we are.
It looks like, I mean, the two of them look like they're going to fall asleep right there on the stage.
I'm thinking, boy, Randy Newman, you know, like acerbic, you know.
It looks like he's going to nod off on the piano.
Yeah.
Bing! I need to wake up. After the last one was putting us to sleep.
No, my only thing about climate change and everybody getting on the bandwagon about it and stuff like that, you know.
Well, it's just everybody's getting on a bandwagon.
Well,
that's,
and they say
that's what
climate change can be cured. Well, no, it can't, because the climate is bigger than all of mankind. It's going to do what it's going to do. We can do things, you know, we're doing things that are making it worse, and we should change those things. But to think that we can control the climate is pure hubris.
No, but we can take steps.
Yeah.
I mean, the frustrating thing is everyone's just, as I say, getting on a bandwagon and talking about it. But when push comes to shove, what are people really doing?
Well, hopefully some people are, you know, taking to heart and cutting on their energy consumption and stuff.
But not
like
enough
that.
to make a difference, and that's,
well, that's
the
part
problem.
Of it. I mean, you know, even if
I mean, you have even our own government that's trying to deny that, you know, the same week that they have that conference in Paris where all these researchers come out and say, yes, it's man-made, it's man, you know, causing severe climate change. The same week they do that, and it's this amazing announcement for all these researchers who normally one researcher, you know, they can't agree on anything, and they come out and they say that, make this statement. Then we have our government saying, you know, oh, well, you know, we don't know that we believe in the man's influence on climate change, and they might minister in a green tie to make us all feel better.
That's some dress.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm not keen on red and black myself, but I think that's actually quite pretty. Mm-hmm. Don't get too close to him. Mm-hmm. It's nice because it's mostly black, but with just these touches of the red, it's quite, it's really pretty. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the prettiest dresses that I've seen this evening.
Mm-hmm. That's very classy. And
but just a little bit different, too.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder who she's wearing. Oh, I hate that question. And it's funny because I love
design. You're a stylista.
Hmm?
You're a closet stylista.
But you know, I love fashion. I love the couture stuff. When we lived in France, I used to always watch the shows. I really do love it. I love the construction. I love to see who's come up with what each season. So it's not that I don't want to know who's designed the dress, but I just find it's
the, you know, American conspicuous consumption thing.
It's just so tacky. It just seems to me, it just sounds so tacky to go up to people and say, who are you wearing? And you have to know who the shoes are by, who the jewels are by, and who the... It's not that I don't want to know, I just want it to be more subtle, I want it to be more classy, I want it to be less like...
The Shopping Channel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. It sounds like the Shopping Channel. Who are you wearing? Like, they could do an Oscar special and sell, you know, knockoffs.
They probably do. But wait, there's more. Order now and you'll get this.
Ooh, she's changed her suit. I wasn't keen on the velvet, but I think I like the color better. She's going to take a picture. Look, she's got a camera.
Oh, you're welcome. I had no idea.
I wasn't keen on this dress.
Mm.
I don't like how it cuts.
That's a bit pseudo-Egyptian.
And I don't like her lipstick.
Mm.
It's less obvious from this, but when they had her on the red carpet earlier, all you could see were these red lips.
Well, that's because it was under daylight.
But I still think it's too yeah, red against the... It's like it's a terracotta colored dress.
Mm-hmm.
If people could only see, you know, if we're sitting around here in our schleppy clothes, and here I am providing commentary on it. The cut's not right. The lipstick's too bright. These shadow things are supposed to be like a representation of each of the films. And I'm trying to decide if it's clever or if it's...
Hokey.
Yeah, I really want this to win.
The Lives of Others from Germany. Glory and Freedom from Bonaparte.
And I'm going to be so devastated when it doesn't win. Because Pam's Labyrinth is going to win. We know that.
Oh, that's silly.
Well, the problem is, it's actually, I really love this song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written by Ennio Morricone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's part of this whole special because they're giving him an honorary Oscar.
Ah.
Because he's been, like, nominated at the Wazoo and he's never won one. Mm-hmm. Which is, for Ennio Morricone, it's like, nuts that he's never won one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what, Scorsese? I can't say his name.
Just call him Marty. Scorsese.
Look, it's René. But that's really going to work wonders on the sound, isn't it?
It's ambiance. We're watching the movies. Well, we're watching our show about the movies. Just think of this as popcorn.
Yeah. Okay, because it's like the whole thing with the dresses and the stuff. We're eating popcorn, we're eating healthy baked taco chips.
Name the brand, maybe they'll send us some. Name the brand, maybe they'll send us some.
I don't even know.
And Tostitos. Baked.
You know, we could have created a whole scenario here. We could have had
product placement.
We could be, you could be wearing a tux and I could be wearing, you know, Gautier, and we could have the butler bringing us champagne and finger foods. Mm-hmm. No one would have known. Oh, I still have some chips.
What's wrong with what you're doing?
I don't know.
Award for the best acceptance speech in a foreign language.
I'm amazed he's not doing it in English. I wonder if that with all the English language films he scored that maybe he would have some English.
Maybe not.
And I'm wondering if Eastwood's just, yeah, he's just reading the translation.
Yeah. Clint's telling, but not that.
Well, he threw some Italian into his opening.
Maybe that's from all the spaghetti westerns he's done. Working with Sergio Leone.
Yeah, well, Morricone scored Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Fistful of Dollars.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what he said. He said it was not only because it's committed to the artist, but also to his own personal aesthetic of what the music should be.
He's just being Italian and he's not following the script.
Random act of Italianness. And you notice his wife waved at him only when Eastwood gave the English translation. That's funny. I know this film has had such buzz. And I don't know if I'm resistant because it's essentially a biopic.
Mm.
I have a real problem with films made about people who are still living.
Mm.
I mean, is that strange?
It's just a matter of taste.
I still think I'd like to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Helen Mirren.
Mm-hmm. Satellite guy's not right anyway.
It's probably supposed to be over by 11:30. Crying. Look, Scorsese is weeping.
He's a softie.
He said, "It won for editing. I'm not going to win anything else tonight."
That's it.
It's You know, we should have counted how many times they put the camera
Nicholson.
On Nicholson. You could have been those drinking games. Next year we set up the Academy Award, the Oscar night drinking game.
Whack the Jack. You get points for every time you whack Jack Nicholson on the screen.
Yeah, you take a drink every time you spot him, it's usually still sober at the end of 3 hours, 4 hours. Actually, what's really depressing is I know more of the people who died than I know, you know, present day.
Mm-hmm.
20 years from now, I'm going to be watching the Oscars and they're going to be doing the people who died. I'm going to know absolutely no one.
I didn't know Darren McGavin died.
Well, now you know.
Mm-hmm.
What did you dream of when you were a kid? What did you want to do? Think if these people are dreaming of becoming actors.
I never had any dreams. I just wanted to make airplanes.
Well, that's a dream.
I didn't dream of it. It seemed like what I wanted to do.
Well, that's a dream.
The three of us are here because we know what a great feeling it is to win an Academy Award for directing.
We're going to go mouth to mouth to Scorsese when he doesn't win it.
Why are you
here? If the dude that did United 93 wins over Scorsese, that's a real problem.
Whoa!
It's about time.
Mm. Well, he's gonna get a lifetime award at some point anyway. I know, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Well, he was like in the movie. He was in the movie.
The,
so.
I know, but still. We should search on the internet. I'm wondering if there's already a Nicholson Oscar drinking game out there. He's talking real fast, but I'm thinking if they had the nerve to cut him off. It'd be like a riot. People would be ripping their seats up.
I think he's only ever going to get one of these.
You never know. Like, maybe this will be a... Yeah. Just, like, open the floodgates.
It's like Jensen Button's first Formula One win, right? It's only Formula One, sorry.
He might have more.
You will. Eventually.
Look, another Nicholson.
Yeah.
If they're holding him up. Did he say, I can't believe it? Yeah, I can't believe it. It's one of those rare moments where the director and the best picture have
the same
film.
Yeah.
Which is only makes sense, you know?
If you would like to leave a comment or ask a question or just send me a nice note, you can find all the information on how to do that at www.cinefolle.org. That's CINEFOLLE.org. You can leave a contribution in the comments to any episode or just look over on the sidebar and you'll find my email address. Until next time. When I have no idea what I'll do, but ciao for now.